Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Atlanta, 2 o'clock on the dot. We're with you for about another 30 minutes. We'll lead you right up into pre-match coverage of the Five Stripes MLS season debut. Coming up at 2:30 right here, Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Busy show today. From the Braves to the Hawks to the NFL draft, we got some soccer, and we've got G-Day. We've got college football, SEC spring games. That is what we will hit on right now. So here's kind of your breakdown of a schedule of what you have today. Obviously, a lot of SEC alums that live in the greater Atlanta area. So Alabama right now, spring game, almost at halftime. That is on ESPN. All of these Eastern time. Auburn is coming up right now on SEC Network Plus. Arkansas will be coming up at 3 o'clock. And Georgia's getting underway right now as well. LSU got underway about an hour ago. And Mississippi State is already in progress. Next weekend is Ole Miss, the Lane Kiffin game. As well as South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Those are all next weekend. Vanderbilt has theirs right now. They have a total of four people in attendance. Missouri played theirs about a month ago. And Florida and Kentucky will not have spring games. But here's the one thing that I thought really stuck out. So Cole Kublik, who does a great job for ESPN, former Auburn guy, he works at the big sports station in Birmingham. He tweeted out the ESPN preseason college football FPI top 10. It's their football power index, probably a bunch of nerdy guys in Bristol that throw a bunch of formulas together and spit out a preseason top 10. And here is the order, 1 to 10. Number 1, Alabama. Number 2, Oklahoma. Number 3, Clemson. Number 4, Iowa State. Number 5, Ohio State. Number 6, Texas A&M. Number 7, the Georgia Bulldogs. Number 8, Mississippi State. Number 9, Oklahoma State. Number 10, Penn State. I think that list is a bunch of crap. How about that for a take? A bunch of crap. There is no way you will convince me that Georgia is inferior to Iowa State, Texas A&M, and I don't even know about Oklahoma and Ohio State. You want to give me Bama? Okay. You want to give me Clemson? Okay, but we're playing Clemson in week one, so we'll find out soon enough. But you're going to sit here and try to convince me Iowa State is a better team this year, right now, than the Georgia Bulldogs. Iowa State. Well, Kale, they've got Brock Purdy back and Breeze Hall. Yeah, that's cool. I think they're a fun story. I think Matt Campbell's a great coach. Ain't beating Georgia. Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler. He's going to score a ton of points. Could be a quarterback that the Falcons look at in the draft next year if we don't go quarterback this year. I'm just saying. But I don't buy Oklahoma. Everybody wants to sell me on, yeah, their defense really came on strong. They're gradually getting better under Alex Grinch. They couldn't get worse. My God. Defense is optional in the Big 12. Oklahoma can't stop a running nose. You're going to give me Oklahoma too? And you're going to put them ahead of Clemson? I'll take Clemson over Oklahoma every day of the week. I think Georgia-Oklahoma will be a heck of a game. JT Daniels and Spencer Rattler slinging it around the lot. Let's go. But Georgia's better than Oklahoma. So when you look at these, you know, I don't know where the Mississippi State love is coming from. Mississippi State? What? Huh? Did Dan Mullen go back to Starkville and bring Dak Prescott with him? Come on. Mike Leach's team couldn't score at times last year. Harsh reality that you're no longer coaching at Washington State. Oklahoma State, no shot. Penn State, no shot. Here's the way I look at college football for 2021. And if you've listened to me since for the last year, I'm not a Georgia apologist or homer. I crushed Kirby Smart all fall for the way he handled the quarterback situation. But Georgia right now, in my opinion, has a decisive advantage over Alabama and Clemson in respect of they have the more proven commodity at quarterback. I get it. DJ, however you say his last name, Bryce Young at Alabama, they're going to be really good quarterbacks. You know, DJ Uiagalelei, I think that's how you say his name. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be Trevor Lawrence, but he's going to be pretty damn good. He's going to be a top five NFL draft pick. Bryce Young at Alabama's got the chance to be, you know, kind of like Tua. Same pedigree. But right now, at this very moment, Georgia has far more answers than questions on offense than those other teams. We're bringing back JT Daniels. We're bringing back three talented running backs. Now, the George Pickens injury, I get that. Maybe that factors into to Georgia being 7. Maybe with Pickens, they would have been 4. I don't know. The Pickens injury is a legit thing. But maybe we get him back in time for Thanksgiving, for presumably an SEC championship in Atlanta against Alabama, and then hopefully a college football playoff. But as good as George Pickens could be at times, let's not just derail a whole season for a wide receiver. I mean, come on. We didn't lose our quarterback. We didn't lose our stud left tackle. We didn't lose a premier edge rusher. When you got a great offensive line, a great quarterback, and a good play caller, and you've got two or three other quality receivers, your offense is still going to hum. No doubt about it, much better with George Pickens. But, you know, if you thought Georgia was going to score 40 a game with George Pickens, well, they're not just all of a sudden going to score 27 a game because George Pickens is gone. But look at how many more answers we have than questions compared to, I don't know, how about Clemson? You just lost Trevor Lawrence. All I heard for 3 years was, he's the highest graded prospect since John Elway. He's the next closest thing since Andrew Luck. Okay. Well, he's gone now. And I get it. DJ, you know, he stepped in nice, went on the road against Notre Dame, had a heck of a game in Trevor's absence with COVID. But he's not Trevor Lawrence yet. Maybe he will be. I don't know. But I know right now he's not Trevor Lawrence. Travis Etienne, most decorated running back in ACC history. He's gone. You're going to try to sell me Clemson's offense over Georgia right now? I'm taking Georgia. And then you get to Alabama. Mac Jones, gone. Najee Harris, gone. Landon Dickerson, gone. Alex Leatherwood, gone. Jaylen Waddle, gone. Devontae Smith, gone. You're taking Alabama's offense over Georgia right now? Oh, by the way, with a new OC in Bill O'Brien? I'm not. We know Kirby's going to be good in the trenches. We know Kirby's going to have a good defense. And we know Kirby can run the football. But now we have the quarterback, and we have a litany of weapons. We also have a 6'7", 265-pound tight end that should be utilized a whole heck of a lot more this year by Todd Monken in that offense. Total mismatch. Not as athletically gifted as Kyle Pitts, But 6'7", 260, my God, that's Gregory Rousseau, who we want to see them draft in the second round as an edge rusher with the Atlanta Falcons coming out of Miami. So I think Georgia got severely slighted. And again, their preseason rankings, preseason top tens and polls, you know, they're, you can, you know, just crumble up your paper when you're done reading them. They're worth nothing, but it's the thought process behind it. You're going to give me Iowa State? Iowa State. You're going to give me Texas A&M. I thought all the national talking heads in college football, and they're like this little clique of, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe them. Like, I love college football. I'm in the media. I do a college football podcast for Athlon Sports. But I don't, like, lump myself in with this little group of, like, little smart know-it-alls who comb their hair to the right. Like, that's not me. But, boy, they were all in on, oh, do you watch? 2020 is going to be Jimbo's year. Texas A&M, Kellen Mond, 2020 is the year. You know, Texas A&M was nice last year. But they just lost their quarterback, who felt, it felt like Kellen Mond was there for 8 years, like he was working on a doctorate's degree. You're going to put Texas A&M ahead of Georgia? No. So I'll give you Bama, because Saban just reloads. I'll give you Clemson, because Dabo just reloads. I'm not giving you Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma, although I think that would be a compelling game. I darn sure am not giving you Iowa State, and I'm not even giving you Ohio State right now. Hello, Justin Fields is gone. Trey Sermon, gone. Chris Olave, I think he's gone too, right? He might have had one more year of eligibility. But all these teams, and that's why I'm so high on Georgia this year, pre and post Pickens injury, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, they got a lot of rebuilding to do. And they're great. Ohio State is largely the only recession-proof college football program over the last 30 years. But, I mean, this is the year for Georgia. And you know, college football, a lot like the NBA we just talked about last segment, it's become about three or four teams. It's about Clemson. It's about Alabama. You know, Ohio State coming out of the Big Ten, Oklahoma out of the Big 12, and that's about it. The Pac-12 has opted out of college football. They're no longer relevant. Although USC could be interesting this year with Keaton Slovis. But then you look at some of these other teams, you're going to try to, like, when we say, well, who are the teams outside of the perennial four that could make some noise? Iowa State, yeah, New Year's Six. Penn State, New Year's Six. Don't give me Oregon. Don't give me Oklahoma State. Every year I got to hear about Mike Gundy, and he goes 9-3. I think Georgia getting very, very disrespected. All right, a couple of things to keep an eye on for spring games. Obviously, you got Bryce Young at Alabama. How will he do replacing Mac Jones? Who steps up for Pickens in the absence at receiver at Georgia? A lot of people love Demetrius Robertson. Obviously, Kyrus Jackson is a guy to keep an eye on. When it comes to Auburn, can first-year head coach Brian Harsin fix the offensive line? I think that's a big question on the Plains. And then LSU. You know, the whole Bo Pelini thing? Got to get that figured out. See if they can fix that defense, because they just fell off the map last year. You got a couple of quarterback battles. You got one in Starkville with Mississippi State. In the East, Florida's got to reload. Trask, Pitts, Tony, losing so many guys off of that Dan Mullen offense. That also was a team that, look, had a lot of hype last year. They were rolling, and at the end of the year, they finished with what, 3-4 losses? So that's where we're at with college football. And the week one opener can't come soon enough. Got to figure out how many days it is until Georgia-Clemson. I am going to be so stoked for that game. I might start cocktailing on Friday night. Just go right through to Saturday. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up. We've got some numbers from the experts in the desert on our Falcons. Stay there. All right, closing moments here on a Saturday, a little shorter edition of the Nick Kale Show. We're with you for about another 9 minutes. We'll lead you right into pre-match commentary, as we've got the Five Stripes season debut against Orlando. Jason Longshore, Mike Conti, they'll have the call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves and Cubbies getting ready to get game two of their three-game weekend set underway. Waskar Ynoa in two starts this season. He gets the start today, by the way. But in two starts this year, 11 innings pitched, one earned run, five hits, two walks, 15 strikeouts. Opponents hitting .135 off of him and an ERA of 0.75. I mean, let's face it, we don't have a lot of guys dealing right now, and this guy, of all people, is the one. Not Soroka, not Freed, not Anderson, not Smiley, not Morton, but Waskar Ynoa. And I think I'm getting it correct when I say that. I just try to say it the same way that Chip Carey says it on the television broadcast when I watch all the games. So if I'm wrong, well, then you know what? I'm just going to blame Chip. But I think it's Waskar, even though it starts with an H. And even though the last name is Ynoa, it's Ynoa. The Y sounds like an E. Why, I don't know. All right, so let's get to some NFL win totals that were just posted this past week. You know we're getting closer to football when you got spring games on the Saturday in the SEC, even though they don't want to televise some of them because they'd rather put on soccer in Italy. But that's neither here nor there. And you know we're getting closer to football when we're 12 days away from the draft and NFL win totals are coming out. Those will get adjusted based on the way the draft plays out in 12 days. Schedule release will be coming up in May, which is just once again why the NFL is the king, because they build programming around the schedule release. And then all these idiots on radio like me will go, all right, win. Oh, that's a loss. Trap game, short week, bye, win. And it's all for nothing. It's just way too early to figure that out. But gambling's fun. And you guys know I like to give out some picks at the end of the show. So I got some NFL win totals that I'm keeping an eye on. I have not put in the bets yet. These are courtesy of DraftKings. And I know sports betting yet to be officially approved in Georgia. It's on the way. It's going to happen. And when it does, it will be glorious. But, you know, there's other ways for you guys to get your bets, and you know that. So there's a couple of over-unders that I really like. Number one, the Buccaneers. 11.5 is the over-under win total for Tom Brady and the reigning defending world champion Buccaneers. Now, my first inclination is to say over because they're bringing everybody back. They're going to have a full offseason this year. It's not going to be like it was last year. I get some of these players are going to be skipping the voluntary workouts and things like that. But Tom Brady, year two, with all of these guys again, I initially think over. But then you factor in the Super Bowl hangover. Very difficult the next year, unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, you go 14-2 after winning the thing. I'm going to go under 11.5 on the Bucs. I'm going to go 11-5. Give me under 11.5 wins. These are all -110 odds, which means you got to bet $11 to win 10. There's a couple other ones that I really love. I'm going to go over 11 on the Baltimore Ravens. I think this is going to be a year, and I still have my doubts about Lamar's true development from the pocket. But I got a feeling Baltimore does something really ridiculous this year offensively. They've upgraded at receiver, and you got J.K. Dobbins in year two. I like Baltimore over 11. Here's the best one. If you only take one and you only bet one, take this one. 10.5 wins for the Buffalo Bills. That is a mortal lock over. I got the Bills winning at least 12 games this year. The Dolphins, they could lose one too. You look at the schedule, I'm sure you'll find a few other losses. But the Bills over under 10.5? I don't know. Maybe I'm a sucker and I'm taking the bait. It feels low. I'd go over 10.5, and that's hands down my best one. The other one that I like a lot is the Rams. The Rams over under 10.5 with Matthew Stafford at quarterback, not Jared Goff. I like the over there a lot. Give you a couple of others as well. The Tennessee Titans, interesting one at 9.5. You know, you lose Corey Davis, you lost Jonnu Smith. Arthur Smith is now the head coach of the Falcons. Titans fans don't want to hear 9-7 because they've gone 9-7 a bunch. Last year they broke through, won 11 games, won the division. Unless they do something tremendous in the draft, I go under 9.5 for the Tennessee Titans. The Dolphins at 9, I like over. Dolphins feel like a 10-6 wild card team to me. This is also one. The Steelers, 8.5. That is very low. That tells me Vegas, even with Roethlisberger coming back for one more shot, I go under on the Steelers, 8.5. So let's get to your Falcons. The Falcons sit there with a group of three teams at 7 wins. The Bears, the Falcons, the Giants, over under 7. Based off of the free agent acquisitions, I would lean under. For the Falcons. Feels like a 6-win season. Looking at the schedule, most notable offseason move, Mike Davis. Now, let's see what they do with the draft. I mean, if all of a sudden Matt's got a couple of more weapons, that could change. But right now, it feels like an under. The Eagles, over under 6.5. Easy under. That team is in disarray. The Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence. Ton of weapons in the draft. A ton of moves in free agency. Do you believe in Urban Meyer right out of the gate? I don't. I would go under 6.5 on that one. And then lastly, the Houston Texans with the lowest over-under win total at 4.5. That is assuming, obviously, Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback, because if Deshaun Watson's the quarterback, that number is not 4.5. That number is 6.5 or 5.5 or 7. The Lions at 5. The Jets at 6.5. The Bengals at 6.5. So I think they're assuming Deshaun Watson will not be on the field this year. If that's the case, I like the under. I mean, it's been a mass exodus from Houston, Texas. I think the Texans could easily be a 3 or 2 win team. They smell like 3-13 written all over them. So that's kind of some of the over-unders that are just coming out now from Vegas as we get closer to the NFL draft. I would think those numbers will change again based on the draft, based on some of the action that's coming in. But I tell you right now, the one I love the most, I mean, if you got to put a total dollar amount that is of significance and matters to you, and you can only do it once, put it on the Bills, baby. Buffalo, 10.5. They got to the AFC Championship last year. They're going to be loaded again this year. Josh Allen, the real deal, easily over 10.5. If they go 11-5, I would say they're somewhat of a slight disappointment. They're going to be that good. Also like the Rams, over 10.5 with Matthew Stafford. Okay, so that is going to do it for us here on this Saturday. This has been a great day. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be back. I'm off next weekend. So the next show for me will be NFL Draft Night, Thursday the 29th. I believe I'll be doing like an hour or two as the official draft show comes to a close, and I'll kind of wrap it up and take you up until midnight on that night, and then we'll be back for more stuff on the weekend. But my thanks to Joe Patrick. Enjoy the Braves game today. Enjoy Atlanta United, which is coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks to my producer, Garrett Chapman. Have a great rest of your Saturday, Atlanta. Don't forget, too, Braves and Cubs tomorrow night, Sunday night baseball. Hawks and Pacers, a little matinee. Great weekend. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.